Well, occasionally I like to get away. Do you guys like to get away occasionally? You know what I'm talking about. A lot of times when I get away, we find out that we get away, we get blessed by different people. And sometimes I spend my away time with some people. One of the times that we get away, I'm stumbling around here, but I'm trying to get to this point where, okay, sometimes we'll go to the mountains. All right, and we're in the mountains, and I'm in the mountains with Steve Devane, and Steve Devane is an avid hiker. And when I say avid hiker, he doesn't just walk; he like runs up a mountain. And I have a hiking stick, not to help me walk, but to beat him to try when he tries to make me walk up there. But here's what I find out sometimes: when we're on a trail, and we're walking up. And we're seeing this beautiful stuff. Like 2 miles in, there's this beautiful waterfall. And I'm like, man, this is great. This is good because this is where I'm going to die. You know, I'm going to die right here because I'm not going to be able to get back out. And we look at our phone, and we don't get a phone signal. And it's like you're really alone, and you're really in a space where you're away from everybody. No one can get in touch with you. You're isolated. Now, you don't have to go to a mountain and climb a particular mountain or whatever. If you pull into our parking lot here, if you got AT&T, it's going to cut you off. You know, we have dead spots, right, where people can't get in touch with you. So here's what I'm saying. Sometimes our connection is affected by our location. What I mean is where you're at, where you're connected to, it's going to affect how well you're connected to somebody or to God. Is where we're going with this. In other words, there are sometimes on the mountain, Steve says, I'm going to run ahead and see if the trail forks up here. Paul, you could just sit there, okay? And I'm like, okay. And the whole time I'm like, oh, man, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I don't get a signal. And, you know, Steve will come back. But what you have to do sometimes is go to a higher place. And when you get to a place, you get connected. We all go through different times in our life. We all go through seasons where things are great. Perhaps we're spiritually motivated. We're spiritually hungry. We're diving into God's Word. We're saying, like, man, I love all of this stuff that's going on. Man, I can't get enough of reading scriptures. Man, I'm reading Christian books. I'm not watching any junk on TV anymore or whatever. And we feel alive. But then there are times, and maybe not because of a big sin in our life, but there are times we feel disconnected from God. We feel dry. We feel empty. Anybody ever feel that? Some of you may be feeling that now. I don't know. But our location will determine our connection. If we feel distant from God, perhaps something's going on in our life. Maybe there's a situation, a job loss, a bad diagnosis from a doctor, something that makes us focus on ourselves for a moment, and we kind of go through a dead spot. Jodico Road is another one. Going down Jodico Road, and you have to, okay, hold on a minute. You know what I mean? Maybe we go through dead spots in our life. I want to look at Psalm 30 today. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalm 30. We are in a series called Lessons from the Psalms. And we are looking at Psalms are really songs. This was like the first song book, so to speak. They would sing these. A lot of these were for, you know, different musical instruments or different things. This is written by David. It says here, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. Okay? Now, let's look at verses 1 through 3. It says here, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. In other words, you've lifted me up and my foes are not rejoicing over me. Okay? O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, and Sheol is a death. Some it's translated as hell, but it means you brought me up from dead. You raised me up when I was dead. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit, and to the pit means the same thing, to death. The lowest you can be, lowest you can be. Now, we know that David wrote a bunch of the Psalms. He was very poetic. He was musical. And so we read that and we say, oh, that's pretty lyrical there. Man, listen to this. Oh, I will extol you, O Lord. You have drawn me up. My foes don't rejoice over me. I cried to you for help and you healed me. You have brought me my soul up from Sheol. You restored my life. Is he being figurative here? No, David is being literal. How many of you know David in the Bible? You've heard of David, right? David and Goliath. You guys know David and Goliath? Okay, Goliath, this big man, enemy of Israel, so fierce that he comes out and he's taunting and he's just berating the Israelites, and they're afraid of him. And Saul, who is like the strongest of the men, he's the king, but he's like, I don't know what we're going to do with this. And here comes David, the runt of the litter, basically, little kid, and he says, I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him on. No one's going to mock God like that. And so to make the story even longer, what happens is Saul puts his armor on him, and David's in this, you know, guy that's like 6'3", and David's like this little runt guy, and he's like, okay, this ain't going to work. Just take this stuff off. I'm going to pick up some rocks. I'm going to go. And he goes, and with the power of God, he destroys Goliath. Well, Goliath wasn't his only enemy. See, Saul had messed up, and the prophet came and said, okay, David, you're going to be the next king. And the problem is, Saul is still the king. So now you got, okay, David's going to be this next king. You got the king here. So David goes into the court one time, and Saul throws a spear at David, and it hits the wall behind him. I mean, so not only was Goliath and trying to kill him, but the king was trying to kill him. And then, on top of that, as David becomes the king, all the enemies around them are after David, and they want his life, and they want to kill him. So when David says, I cried out to you for help, you help me. My foes don't rejoice over me. He is talking about what's been going on in his life. In other words, you know, there was crazy stuff happening, God. I'm paraphrasing. This is the Country Bible, remember? Crazy stuff happening, but you saved me. You saved me. And David's response in here was not, you know what? I was lucky, you know? I picked up some extra stones in case that first stone didn't work. I got lucky. Oh, I'm smart, so I know how to do this. I'm wise. I'm strong. He didn't say any of that. He said it was all from God. God, you did this. You raised me up. God, you lifted me up. God, you restored my life. And David, this is called a psalm of thanksgiving. So I think when we are in a dry period, one of the best ways of getting out of this dry period in our life is to enter into a place of thanksgiving. And we're going to look at this and we're going to see how David did this. Gifts oftentimes connect us to the giver. One of the most awesome gifts I ever received was when you guys sent me to the Holy Land. And first off, it was a huge blessing, and I'm over there, you know, walking where Jesus walked, man. I even went down in the Jordan River, and that song, Jordan River is chilly and cold, freezes the body but not the soul, it does. I'll tell you, man, you jump in there and you start walking on water almost like Jesus did because it's so cold, you're running on across the top. But when I go over there, even my professor says, what a blessing that Three Point Bible Church sent you there. And I tell people that all the time. You know what my church did for me? See, that trip was a wonderful gift. I can't repay you guys for that. But what happened is I think about you all the time. It connects me to you. You ever received a gift and every time you look at that gift, you remember the person that gave it to you and the occasion that you got it? There's a connection there. God has given us gifts and we need to be connected to the giver of the gifts. What are some gifts maybe that you've received? Maybe it's answered prayer. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new baby. Maybe it's God has answered or done something in your life that you least expected it. June of this year, I will have been a senior pastor for 13 years. We're entering in, I guess, our 13th year, or we'll start our 14th year coming up or whatever. I don't know. 13 years as a senior pastor. I have been in para-ministry or bivocational ministry pretty much my whole life. Right before Margie and I got married, I graduated, she graduated, and I took a church position. When I first started church position, I felt, you know, what God always did to church musicians is call you to the place that pays the more money, you know. So you go from this church to this church. I never did that. In other words, when I got to a place, I stayed there. I was at Morrow Presbyterian Church for 18 years. I was at the Village Church for 7 years. We planted this church, and I became a senior pastor overnight, kind of thing. Sorry about that, y'all, but I love this. This is not a rung on the ladder for me. I drive here. I get here first thing in the morning on Sunday mornings. I walk through here, and I pray for these chairs, and I say, God, the people sitting in here today are moving their hearts. For me, it is a blessing that I get to preach the Bible. I don't have to preach what someone tells me. The only person that tells me what to preach is God or Sandra, but they tell me, but I preach. I love the church. If it wasn't for the people, I'd love the church even more, but you know what I'm talking about. It's a blessing for me. And so I thank God for that. There are times where I'll get like, man, you know, I just hate this. I hate that the rooms aren't finished. I hate that a truck ran over our sprinkler system. I hate that sometimes when the rain is blowing 600 miles an hour and we're in a metal building that there are leaks. I hate. But then I stop and I think, you know, it's not even about that. Look what God has done in this place. And I say, thank you, God. It connects me to the giver of the gifts, and it takes me out of that dry spot in my life where nothing seemed right. Tell you something else. Margie and I will be married for 36 years coming up, or 37. Margie says it's been the best 8 years of her life. But I look at our family, and I look at our children, and I look at our grandchildren, and I look at the blessings that God has given to us, that here is a woman that supports whatever crazy thing I do, and I do crazy stuff all the time. And she puts up with it. You don't see when she beats me, but she puts up with it. I am blessed. And when I start to say, like, well, why doesn't Philip do this? Or why doesn't Alex do this? Or why doesn't Lena do this? Or I have to stop and say, you know what? God has blessed me with some great kids. And God has given me a wonderful life. And it connects me. It makes Margie and I even closer. But it also connects me to God that, you know, people say, well, there's no one really picked out for you. Okay, no one picked out for me. I'll tell you what, I couldn't do any better. You know, you don't have to amen that there, Brenda. She got lucky too. No. But the point is, it connects me not just with my family, but it connects me to God. Because this is how God is blessing me. He's watching over me. I see his fingerprints in our lives. I see his fingerprints in our church. I see his fingerprints in our music. I see our fingerprints all over. When I sit down and I talk to you and I pray with you, and I see his fingerprints as God is moving in our lives together. And another thing that I see and I'm thankful for is the gospel itself. That I was a sinner. I went to church my whole life, you know. I had a drug problem. My mom and dad would just drug us to church, you know, that kind of thing. We were drugged to church. We went to church. And we did all the things, we knew all of the hymns, we did all of this stuff, but it didn't mean anything until God got a hold of my life and I realized I was a sinner, I was far from God, and God sent his son to die for me so that I could be redeemed, I could be made new. So when I get down and I say, like, man, life is tough, this situation right here is really bad, all of this is going on and going on, I stop and I say, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you sent. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent. Thank you that you said that we would never be alone. Thank you that you are true to all of the promises that you made. And so I'm connected to the giver. I love what Paul says in Ephesians. He says this, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not by your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." It is a gift of God, and we stop and we say, thank you, and it connects us to the giver. So like what David did, first off, remember what God has done. What God has done in your life. That's what David did. David says, when I was down in the pit, when I was dead, when I was in hell, Sheol, you raised me, you gave me life, you restored me. I remember, God, what you did for me, and I remember what God has done for me. The second thing is we remember who God is. We remember God's very nature, who God is. God is merciful, he's loving, he's just, he's righteous, he's gracious. We know that James says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, God is constant. When it says God is merciful, he's not merciful one day and unmerciful or not merciful the next. I don't know if unmerciful is, well, I got a doctorate, it's a word now. God doesn't change. When God says he will do something, he does it. When God says he's going to move, he's going to move. When God says stop, he wants you to stop. God is there. He's merciful, loving, just, righteous, and gracious. God's character is always the same. God is for you. God is for you in the good times when everything's going good and, man, you got a hunger and you're like diving into the Bible. We're on Wednesday nights, we are in Numbers and Deuteronomy. Numbers and Deuteronomy. And you're sitting there thinking like, okay, that's part of the Bible. I really don't, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I think just let's kind of pull those out. You know, so-and-so had this, so-and-so had this, and a bunch of numbers kind of thing. No. We got a group on Wednesday night that is diving into that, and they are studying it. And we're feasting on what God is teaching us through Numbers and Deuteronomy. We say, God, you know, we got a hunger for that. And so we're going through a high point there. But some of us may be in a low point right now. Let me tell you this, God is still for you in the low places. God still doesn't change anything because you're in the low place. He is still for you. He still loves you. He is still blessing you. You just have to stop and thank, enter into a season of thankfulness. God, this is tough right now, but listen, I want to thank you for what you've done for me in the past, but I want to thank you for your very nature because I know you are for me now. Let's see what he says in verses 4 and 5. He says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and that's us, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Like Sandra prayed, sometimes that night seems like it's never ending, never ending. Right now, Bobby and Patsy Cline, they're in a nighttime. They just lost their son. And as we met with them and we prayed with them and spent some time with them, she shared all these wonderful stories about Chris. And there was a little bit of joy. There was a little bit of laughter. Even in the midst of grief, God is good. God is good. Sorry, I'm sweating a little bit now. God is a perfect father. God is in your corner. He's a king. He's a father. He's a savior. But listen to this. Love, justice, mercy, and kindness. Some of us think like we try to equate it with our earthly father. And so we kind of give this personification to God. And he's our father. So we think of our earthly father. He is nothing like our earthly fathers. He loves us. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's for us. And when we slip, He's there to pick us back up. When we're going through the dry spot, He's there to be that waters of living, the living water, springs of living water. David says, you know, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear it. I'm not going to fear it. He's the good shepherd. He leads us beside the still water so we can drink. He puts us down in green pastures. He is for us. And so we stop and we pause and we praise Him for that. So we remember what God did. We remember God's nature. But then, let's look at verses 6 through 10. We rely on God. We continue to rely on God. This is verses 6 through 10. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. You know, when things go well, sometimes, hey, look what I've done, right? By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. It's you that did this. You hid your face, and what happened? What does it say? I was dismayed. Remember his sin with Bathsheba? It's like, you hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry. To you, Lord, I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, my helper. In other words, I'm still going to rely on you. It's not in my strength. It's not in my power. I love that verse in Zechariah. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm going to rely on. I'm going through a dry patch here. You know, okay, I can gripe about it. I can moan about it. I can cry about it. You know, I can try to go fix things on my own and sometimes end up making them worse. You ever put the cart before the horse? I think we all do at times. But he says, rely on me. God, I rely on you. It's his nature. It's who he is. He loves us and he's for us. We used to have games. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you guys this, but I grew up in like a real tough neighborhood, Forest Park. You know, we would play this game called Battle, and Battle was, you would get like a newspaper. We all had newspaper routes back in the day. And we'd always have one or two papers left over. And we'd ball it up. All right? And so it kind of had like a scepter, like you're a king, right? And the thing was, you could make the other people do whatever until they took the scepter out. And while they were trying to take the scepter away from you, you could beat them, you know? See, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you that. I don't think it scarred me in my adulthood. But we would do crazy things like that, right? And I remember just whacking on my brother and, you know, my middle brother, we used to send him out. We'd beat him till he was like, you know, he'd go home crying. But, you know, my friends and us, all, you know, our whole neighborhood is doing this, you know. Oh, that's how we were tough. I mean, it was crazy. But sometimes I think of God as the one with the scepter. Not that he beats us, but you can't take the scepter out of his hand. You can't remove that scepter from him. You have to rely on him and his nature to be who he says he's going to be, because God can do anything that he wants. I mean, he's the creator. We're the creation. If he wants to wipe us out, that's up to him. If he wants to love us, that's up to him. You know, when I held the thing and I was beating my brothers, I could make them do whatever they want. And it was fine until Jim's older brother, Gene, who was like this big star football player, he came out to play. At that time, we all started crying and we all went home. But God loves you. God is like, it was like a kind of a weird King of the Hill kind of thing, right? God is the King of the Hill. He owns the hills. He owns the cattle on the hill. So we continue to rely on God. And then the last thing, verses 11 and 12, always give thanks to God. And when you give thanks to God, it takes us out of our misery and puts us back into his will. Listen to this, what David says. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to that again. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. You know, the sackcloth, what they would do is put on the sackcloth, sit down in ashes, and just totally debase themselves to say, you know, I am completely nothing. I am nothing. That's what David did when he repented of his sin with Bathsheba. Just sat there praying that God wouldn't kill the child, even though God did. But this is what he says here. Why? You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth. And because of that, listen, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Listen to this. Because God took me up from the ashes, because God pulled me up from the pit, because God raised me from Sheol and gave me life, now I will sing his praise and I will not be silent. That's what the church is about. We're supposed to tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has raised us from the dead and has given us new life through his son, Jesus Christ. And we should be joyful about saying that. Again, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all the blessings that you've done for us. And Father, when we forget, when we put our focus on the situations and our circumstances in the moment, Father, I pray that you would just lift our eyes beyond the mountain that's right in front of us and to see with prophetic vision the blessings that you have for us, the blessings that you continue to pour out on us even when we don't even recognize it, how you watch over us and protect us. Father, we thank you for new life in Christ. And Father, we thank you that you are a merciful and loving God. We thank you as our creator that we are made in your image. And Father, we just asked for opportunities to tell other people the good news of the gospel. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.